Good morning. Good morning, my friends, in Swamp Zone 32. Good morning. The mole people who live on the moon. Good morning to the cougars of the Colorado Rocky Mountains. Good morning to all you out there cooking your biscuit and gravy breakfast, because it's Friday, 8:30 a.m., motherfucker, on the Olympic Peninsula, January the 3rd, 2025. Only a couple more weeks of Bob Limp Doc, right? Kind of have to say it's over in April at least, probably, right? Kind of hope it is over, you know, yeah. Who knows? I kind of think at this point, when it comes to obsessions and fears, one of the wisest things we can do is let go of them. And so what I would tell you all right now is that, but Blimp Talk became a metaphor for those years, including the COVID, that I kind of referred to as the great discontinuity at first. And then the word Blimp Doc seemed to apply because it seemed like there was a different phase. Like a phase of deeper and darker lying. Deception before whatever needed to happen was going to happen. And some people said it's because, well, Dan, people wanted to put on a show and usher forth the Antichrist. And some people say, well, no, Dan, they need a reset so they can take over the world and do shit like, you know, cause resets. And some people said, no, Dan, it's Hanlon's razor. Everybody's stupid. Rich people stupid, too. We're fucked. And other people mentioned other things, and the list goes on and on. And, you know, if you got the vaccine, you're supposed to die. I still haven't gotten the vaccine, so I guess I get to live forever, right? But according to my timeline, if Bo Blimp Talk lasts 5 years and it started in roughly, let's say, that March-April time frame of 2020, then yeah, I guess it's almost over. And then I talk about this thing called Grinkin' Time, and it sounds gross because it is gross. It's hard for me to imagine what happens from here. But I guess we're going to talk about it because it's kind of like some kind of movie. It is, isn't it? It's some type of movie about brave young families going out into the wilderness to subdue folks who need to be subdued. Why? We don't know. It's a story of the land, the good old land where you go out there, you take it from the sand, you turn it into the grain. Then it's going to rain, your castles will grow, everything you know. It's a story about the little cowboy spirit out there with his six-shooter going across the deserts and the plains and the ranges looking for trout and salmon paradise. It's a story of log cabins and nice warm fires and the fucking hearth and some type of old-timey Benjamin Franklin style oven, you fuck. Grab yourself some chicory and come see my movie, you baby, Baby Cakes McGee. My movie is about crazy times when some nuke goes off in Splunkton. So the wheel whores move up to the hills to live like rifle kings. Janet Bogarten leads the pack of mullet bearers as the tarnished army is left to suffer in Phoenix. My movie has taco bandits and weird special effects. And if you pre-order tickets online, you get a chance to win a Bitcoin and a tiny fucking house. My movie will reveal the truth of the space harlotry and all the alien nutjob shit. You'll be catapulted beyond the galaxy into a sable star cruiser called Misty Heart. and Bleeding Gum style pottery classes will be held on Tuesday in the disco lounge. Your fruitcake lover is covered in seed oils, and the bile creeps from beyond. And buddy, if you buy tickets online to my special fucking movie, you'll get a chance to win a Bitcoin and a tiny house and a midget hooker named Leslie. There will be peak moments of pure drama in my fucking film. When the leading man takes his flamethrower and sets fire to the illegal aliens, screaming racist expletives and crying loudly over his slain dog. The valley burns as the chestnut wives yearn for that freckled loving from Sir Gawain, not refraining from their lusty ways. It's okay to see this for the wickedness, the wickedness, the wickedness, the wickedness that it is. And listen, if you pre-register for this awesome film, you'll get one fucking Bitcoin, a tiny fucking house, a midget hooker named Leslie, you'll get a dog with AIDS, 6 boxes of 22 long rifle hornets, 100 rounds per box, a Starbucks gift card, collector's edition Girls Gone Wide on Blu-ray, Girls Gone Wild and Wide, all on Blu-rays. You can see it. BBW. The ending of my movie is transformative. You see some bitch wearing cut-off jean jorts and a flimsy top. She stands upon the ledge of the great mountain as tigers approach, and she fires off her last round of 9mm from her high-point pistol. Oh, it didn't jam. Lucky her. She cries the name of her greaseball husband, and the parrot sentinels murmur and whisper, "Can't loss." There is chanting and partying and all kinds of celebrations, and the last puck is erected as Empress of Dublin. Cheerio to that world. And if you register now to see a once-in-a-lifetime film event, you'll get a chance to win one dicey fucking Bitcoin. I'd cash that out fast, you fuck. One really fucking tiny house located near the cooling ponds of a boiling water nuclear power plant. A tinier hooker named Leslie. Juice nugget pasta steaks, lifetime supply, you'll live another 5 fucking years. An AM radio with flashlight, Faces of Death, all volumes on VHS, 76 gallons of monkey urine. All of this can be yours if you pre-register to see my fucking movie. All of it can be yours. You see my fucking movie. Dan, what kind of a way to start the new year is that? I'm just being honest with you guys. I kind of hope that I suffered from the same disorder that most of you did. That in some sense, my unconscious got hijacked. And I saw something uglier coming than what is actually going to arrive. But we'll see next topic. So the Trump Love Fest continues, and in my view, this is ominous. It really is. MSNBC admits massive spike in illegal immigration under Biden. The border was not Biden's finest moment, frankly. Meta's Nick Clegg to step down will be replaced by Republican Joel Kaplan. I wonder if he has a second passport. Announcement comes after Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago in November. That's more or less the embassy for the state of Israel. And he donated about a million bucks to Trump's inaugural committee. Ooh, that's gonna buy something. This Trump love fest should worry the fuck out of you. It is so patently, obviously bullshit. Like, it's clearly the case that a lot of these switches get turned on and off. And it's surprising to me that more people aren't seeing through it. And I don't mean Democrats. The Democrats are going to respond to Trump the way the GOP responded to Obama. That's that knee-jerk reaction. I'm talking about something deeper. The general recognition that Trump represents, goddamn, on one level, he's the last fucking party on the way out of town. I mean, he really is. He's the bar that's still open. And people say, well, they got it, kicked us out of the bar at 1 a.m. It's like, no, guess what? There's a club that stays open at 6 a.m. It's not bad. There's a lot of drive-bys, but it's not bad. He's the bar that stays open till 6 or 7 or 8 a.m., maybe all day long, right? At least for one more day. And it's one big party. It's a love train. And it's weird. And it's getting weirder all the time. And to me, it's ominous. But we'll see. You can interpret the love fest the way you want to. Some of these headlines that are coming out of the news, and it's not just Zero Hedge. I think Zero Hedge is actually relatively sane compared to the rest of it, but some of these headlines are just plain dumb. Pyramids on Mars again. Oh, go back to Mars. Meet Quato. Go back and meet Quato. Fucking bullshit. I was in the Army when Major Ed Dame's book on remote viewing was published. And I remember reading it. I think I was on staff duty. I was bored. The post library at Camp Stanley did not have that many books, and it was one of the few books that looked kind of interesting. So I thought, okay, he was in the Army. I'm in the Army. That must mean something. And so I'm on staff duty one night, Camp Stanley, South Korea. I think it was 1997. And, you know, when I say one night, it's an all-day affair. And yeah, more or less, that was a book I finished that day, between checking on radios and answering phones and securely faxing status reports to Camp Red Cloud. Yeah. The story of remote viewing goes back, probably, this is where we should be honest about it, because if you've read any Joseph Farrell, and Joseph Farrell is a historian who's focused a fair amount on Nazi esotericism, Nazi advanced technologies, and specifically the work that the Nazis did during the Second World War. And if you've ever wondered over the mystery of the race for Berlin, the race we could have won, but we seemed to make a choice to not win, Joseph Farrell has some fairly good arguments as to why that happened. I'm not going to go into that today, but do your own research. It's a question of where the real crown jewels were. You know, the propaganda post-World War II is that the crown jewels was von Braun and his fucking rockets. And now we got Tesla and his fucking rockets. And, you know, it's great, except for it's been a fucking few decades, hasn't it? You know, just a few. And these rockets look dumber every day, no offense. No offense taken, right? Remote viewing is a kind of extrasensory perception whereby you use a tool. Some remote viewers have used art, drawing. A lot of them basically use a pencil and a piece of paper. And they try to take their impressions of their connection to a wider consciousness. that remote viewers can plug into this wider consciousness, and this wider consciousness allows them to see things that are someplace else, to hear things, to essentially experience things that are separated by space and time. It is a kind of extrasensory perception. Remote viewers would argue it's more disciplined because they were trained. And again, this is the mythology of it. And a lot of this comes from Ed Dame's revelations back in the 90s. And if you believe that the revelations of somebody like Ed Dame's are accidental at this point, then I got a tiny house to sell you near a cooling pond, okay? It's only going to cost you 1.5 mil. Don't buy a Geiger counter. It'll just upset you. Yeah. No, I don't believe that a book like that gets published without some type of tacit approval. And you can figure out what that means, really. It's up to you. At this point, that means the deep state. I like to call it the creep state at this point because it's creepy as fuck and it's hard to see how it's heading anywhere but bad. And, you know, in some ways, I think of the reset bullshit as kind of like bright siding. A lot of reset people are into crypto because they have this idea that in the reset world, the crypto barons will somehow carve out their little zones of control. And the truth is uglier, probably. Way uglier. Way uglier than most people want to confront. I'm sorry. It's also why in the new year, I really don't want to focus on it that much, but we're still kind of in the early days and we're having all kinds of fear grenades tossed at us. Oh my God, Dan, ISIS, I know. But you remember when Archer, when that spy agency was called ISIS, and then about 10 years ago, magically, they had to change their name. Isn't that random? And you say, well, Dan, they just had to because the ISIS became real. No, ISIS was always bullshit. ISIS was 100% bullshit. When those brand new Toyota pickups armed with M2 NATO 50 cals and a lot of NATO fucking carbines rolled out of the fucking desert looking like Israeli soldiers LARPing terrorists in 2014. Yeah, that was bullshit. That was Obama and the deep state's response to the fact that nobody wanted to go to war with Syria. Ha ha ha. In the end, who got the last laugh, right? I don't want to go off on tangents. Remote viewing could be real. It's probably connected to Nazi esotericism. There's an organization of Germans that existed prior to the Nazi party called the Thule Society. And there are other groups of these weird sort of German artistic, scientific, / spiritualist groups that developed in Germany and frankly other places, but Germany specifically, between the year 1900 and let's say 1930. And some of these groups were about trying to contact other universes, you know, sort of use their minds and contact the other side and say, teach us how to make weird types of jets and give us ideas for weird ass fucking rockets and super cannons. And there are some scientists who claim that some of their ideas came from these rituals. Some of these weird rituals that the Nazis did. So when you think about remote viewing, understand it is as likely as not that the real origin of remote viewing goes back to paperclip. It goes back to the Nazis that we took out of Germany, the Nazis that were worth anything, probably not von Braun. He probably was more of a concealment thing and a cover than anything else. And it frankly explains things better. It opens up the possibility of what's called the secret space program. And then it kind of deals with the cartoon that we call the Apollo missions. Because a lot of that shit never added up. But does that mean nobody went to the moon? That you can't go to the moon? I don't know. All I can tell you is that stories like Pyramids on Mars are bad pennies. They're very much like the Chinese murder hornet. Be careful. Be careful. Another thing about the remote viewing stuff is that they kind of got connected to the, you know, the Heaven's Gate people. Back in 1997. It's a funny year. That was the year I went to Korea, the year I went to airborne school, the year of Hale Bopp, right? And there's reason to believe that the Hale Bopp people, who would like to listen to Art Bell and radio shows like Art Bell, were hearing people like Ed and others. I don't think it was Ed. I think it was someone else who said there was a spaceship in the tail of Hale Bopp. And, you know, Marshall Applewhite said, "Holy shit, they're coming to get us. They're coming to get us." And all the Heaven's Gate people put on their Adidas and their sweatsuit, leisure suits. Yeah, it's not funny, really. Anyways, be careful, guys. Be careful of the space bullshit. Be careful of pyramids on Mars. Next topic. I'm not going to talk about this too much, but if you've noticed, there's this weird kind of schizophrenia on a lot of these quote-unquote alt news sites, Zero Hedge being the only one I go to, about stimulus. On the one hand, they get really excited about stimulus because it's a buy-the-fucking-dip dog whistle, right? On the other hand, they have to periodically be sarcastic and ironic about it because it is commie bullshit. Whether it's United States doing it, whether it's China or Russia, whether it's handouts to fucking Tesla, you know, our favorite fucking guy, Elon. It's all kind of commie bullshit. The entire military-industrial complex is wretchedly commie bullshit. Yeah, it's commie bullshit in nice suits. It's commie bullshit with a little better technology, but it's still a lot of fucking commie bullshit, okay? Be careful. A lot of people are going to sell you on stimulus this year, to include Papa Blump. Be careful, you know? Next topic. So, there's this story of a CIA officer, quote-unquote, a former CIA officer, targeting officer, Sarah Adams, who was on an edgelord show, Sean Ryan show. And she's talking about how there's like 1,000 of these Al-Qaeda terrorists. Understand, folks, that Al-Qaeda was working with us in Syria. So it is funny how people don't see this now. But she's explaining how there's 1,000 Al-Qaeda in the country and they're all ready to just take us out. Take us out. They're going to take us out. They're going to put on suicide vests and come at us. It's going to be a massive attack against us. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And all I can think is, folks, is that this sounds more like a threat than a warning. You know, this is where I'm at with a lot of this crap. This is a fucking threat. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but when you listen to anybody, quote-unquote, former CIA, telling you that, oh my God, 1,000 of these Al-Qaedas are coming for you, fuck. Do you have more specific information? Oh no, I couldn't reveal that. I can't reveal that. It reminds me of that angry Okinawan on Twitter. She would reveal all these secret plans between emergency COVID surgeries. All these secret plans of the Chinese troop building up on Vancouver Island. And you see those tanks on the train rolling across the Great Plain. Oh, don't listen to Dan. They're not SP-155. Going to Fort Sill. Don't listen to this crap, folks. If you don't want to listen to me, fuck yeah. You can stop listening. Never listen to another fucking podcast. But if anybody goes on a show, I don't care if it's your favorite alt show on Rumble or whatever, and they're a former CIA officer, quote unquote, don't listen to them. It's not worth your fucking time. It's garbage. It just saved you like 10, 15 minutes probably, maybe an hour. Who knows? Here's a weird headline from Zero Hedge. The future's uncertain. The end is always near. Yeah, this is just accidental telling the truth. Next topic. It's like, yeah, okay. More of these weird geomagnetic storms popping up. If you research the subject of geoengineering, you'll come across something called HARP. I think it's the High Altitude Auroral Research Program or something. HARP. The best way to describe it is a radio wave projection system designed to excite particles in the atmosphere, to excite particles in the electromagnetic field, and even to exert pressure over the electromagnetic field. And to some extent, actually push the atmosphere up, which sounds weird, but if you understand what that means, it means they can take advantage of perturbations in the atmosphere, pushing it up, in a sense, using magnetic energy, electromagnetic energy. And in that process, distort the way that the air flows, distort temperatures. I mean, you've all heard of the heat domes. The heat domes, they're great. And the polar vortexes, they're really great. But the thing is, if the geoengineering story is correct, one of the tools they have to create these events are these systems like HARP. And HARP's not the only one. If you listen to Dane Wigington, and I'm not saying you should, but if you do, I think he's remarked that there's several around the world. Some of them are floating, which means that you can move them around, which kind of makes sense. If they're doing this, yeah, you know, HARP probably made sense at first, given what they were doing. When you think about the focus of geoengineering 50 or 60 years ago, it was the North and South Pole. Now it's pretty much everywhere. Whatever that means. Again, I'm not into the whole giving you, how can I say this? I am not interested in guilt tripping or fear mongering people. Believe it or not. I mean, I get angry about some things, but we all have enough fear. And I definitely don't get into blaming the pores, because it's the obvious oldest trick. It's the oldest trick. Oh my God, the world's falling apart. It's the poor people. Did we set off two nukes to see if we could frack from natural gas with nukes? Oh, it's the fucking pores. You know, it's always the pores. Whatever stupid, wretched shit the creep state does, and guess what? Trump will represent nothing different. He has no power, by the way, but he does represent something. Whatever happens with him, it's they'll blame poor people. They always blame poor people, homeless people, poor people, old people, people who are mentally ill, people who are drug addicted, people who are injured and can't defend themselves. So you should do your own thinking on the geoengineering. We don't need more fear right now. We need more facts, more truth. Sadly, it's hard to find some decent facts. All I can do is look up in the sky and tell you, that doesn't look normal. It doesn't look anything like what it did when I was a kid, not even remotely. What does that mean? I guess we'll find out one day, right? Oh boy, ISIS. Yeah. So you all know about the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street over New Year's Eve. I don't know what to tell you. This kind of looks like a cheap version of the shit that happened 10 years ago, because the vehicle looks like a pretty nice fucking vehicle. That cash for clunkers worked out, didn't it, Obama? It looked like a nice truck. And that doesn't mean anything, but I don't know. I have the belief that my 5-year window was correct, but it also worries me because the 5 years is up. Some of this doesn't look like the narrative. It looks like a buildup to it. It's hard for me to place this right now. I mean, it's like that Tesla fucking Cybertruck, what, exploding, catching fire in Vegas? It looks so stupid. It looked like a staged event. Sadly, people were killed when this truck plowed into a crowd or whatever. I think it was a truck, right? It says vehicle in the headline, but I'm pretty certain it was a truck. ISIS flag waving truck. Shamsud Dimjabar, 42, U.S. citizen and Army veteran. Army veteran. Wow, isn't that accidental? I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to take this seriously. It's kind of hard for me to believe this version of the story. Do I think that there are people in the world that want to kill people in the world? Yeah, I mean, the Israelis kill people every fucking day. So does the United States. If the issue is, are there terrorists who kill people? Yes, there are. You pay for them. The printed money pays for it. are these actual terrorists or are these products of the deep state, the creep state? If you ask me, I believe they're products of the creep state, but I can't prove it. And I also have no reason to believe the story. So the best I'm left with is toss it out, because unless I can verify the story, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Next topic. Oh, but you know what though? We could end up with a 7-day waiting period to buy a truck and kill switches for vehicles. What do you think, guys? Kill switches for vehicles? Do you think Trump will talk about kill switches? Kill switches? I bet he will. I bet he'll talk about kill switches for vehicles if he hasn't yet. And then maybe, or maybe J.D. Trance. Maybe it'll be J.D. Trance. I don't know. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Jesus tipping the tables over. That was love, not hate. If you saw wrath in that, we're not the same at all. Jesus going into the temple. He saw people trading missiles. He saw people dealing drugs. He saw people buying flesh. He saw people selling hate. He took a table and he flipped it over. And that was love, not hate. It was. A lot of folks will look at the Bible from a certain angle. And this is one of those stories that if you look at it from the wrong angle, you get the wrong message. I don't think Jesus killed anybody. I don't think the disciples killed anybody. I don't think they went in there and they beat anybody up. They went in there and they disrupted something that wasn't right. They disrupted an activity that was not in accordance with the will of God. That wasn't hate, that was love. That was love for God. That was also love for the people in the temple. It's something that people should consider, especially given it's 2025. If you, I don't know how to phrase this. There are things that enable the United States to function right now, to include having military bases in Syria, that are not even remotely legal. Like, if you believe in the rule of law, if you believe there's international law, there is nothing remotely legal about it. If you believe in the Constitution, there is nothing remotely legal about occupying territory in Syria. Nothing. Nothing at all. And the answer why we're doing it is pretty fucking obvious. It's the oil. It's the resources. You find a place that has a lot of lithium. You find a place that has uranium. You find a place that has a shit ton of oil or precious rare earths, and all of a sudden you're going to find U.S. military contractors, mercenaries. You'll find them. They just show up. In fact, if I had the resources, and I'm about to give it away, I don't have the resources, but I'm going to give it away anyways. But if I had the resources, I would LARP the fuck out of this. I would put on the craziest fake ass lithium gold oil show ever. I would find myself some crooked ass dude, I don't know, ideally Nigeria. I would set it up to be the greatest find in history, and then I would just watch and see how long it took for somebody, probably the CIA, to show up. Start killing people, start tipping shit over. But not in the good way, not in the way of love. So I guess in a way that would be a terrible thing to do. It would. It would be an experiment that would result in disaster for other folks. And no, I don't recommend doing something like this any more than I recommend luring, you know, alligators to your neighbor's house to see if the alligators might kill a couple of your neighbors. I'm pretty certain, you know, they probably would, and that's wrong. You shouldn't do it. So take my word for it. We're not in Syria for freedom. Not for the freedom of Americans or for the freedom of Syrians. We're there to steal their shit, and we're there for the state of Israel. That's it. And Jesus tipping tables over, that was love. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Hates a lot of work. Kindness is a warm breeze. Hates a lot of work. Kindness is a warm breeze. Hate is a lot of work. Kindness is a warm breeze. It is. Hate's a ton of work. It's something that I struggle with because I have encountered people, not groups of people, but specific people in my life that I have come to hate. And it's not good. It's a lot of effort. It's better to let it go. And this is why forgiveness is the path. It's not so much about the other person. This is something a lot of Christians get confused on too. That somehow, if the person that did something wrong is forgiven, that helps the person that did something wrong. It doesn't. It does nothing for them. If they're an evil piece of crap and they keep doing evil things, I'll let you in a little secret. They can plead for forgiveness 50 times, and believe me, this has happened to me. And they're going to be just as condemned. And the good news is, it's not your job to know. It's not your job to know, but Christ does want you to let go. Christ wants me to let go. That doesn't help the person I'm pissed off at or the person I think has committed a wrong. This doesn't really help them at all. But what it does do, it allows me, it allows you, it allows us in our relationship with Christ to get beyond it so that the world doesn't have to be all so fucking struggle, you know, all struggle all the time and so stressful and carrying those burdens. You can just let the burdens go. Let them go. And then you'll find a warm breeze at your back because you let go of the things that only help the devil and don't help you or the human race. Hate's a lot of work, folks. It really is. It takes a lot of effort to hate, you know? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Imagine this book titled, People I Should Have Ignored, People I Should Have Listened To. Imagine that book, Dr. Freckles. Yeah. There are people I've listened to in this life I wish I'd never had. I don't think that's special. I think that's happened to others of us, you know. We know this. We know the deal. And there are people that I should have listened to, and I didn't. There were moments in my life where I should have turned right instead of left, just like you, just like all of us. That's the nature of life, right? Choices. And I wish I had a book. A book that listed the people I should listen to and the people I shouldn't, but there is no such book. If there is, you know, the Lord has it, but we don't. I'm pretty certain the Lord could tell you who you should listen to, who you shouldn't, but there's a reason why he doesn't. Lots of reasons, not the least of which something called free will. But there are people I wish I would have known to ignore. Next topic. So Zero Hedge had an article about stateless people, and it just made me want to vomit. The whole subject makes me want to vomit. I'm an anarchist, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm a stateless person. If they start rounding up illegals to ship them someplace, I don't know how to say it. I'm probably going to see if I can't get shipped. And if you say, well, Dan, what if they ship you to one of those places? All I can say is, we're all going to end up there anyways. I'll just be ahead of the curve, buddy. And if anything, I'll do what I can to make sure it doesn't work out on the other side of the equation. And if that means I go to the farm early, guess what? It doesn't concern me. Your government, your taxes, your politicians, Donald Blump or Biden, this is all a joke to me. It's a giant joke. It's not a funny joke. It's not a kind joke. It's a joke that harms a lot of people, that harms the planet, basically. But it is a joke. A sick, sad joke. I'm a stateless person. Do me a favor. Once they pass the law where they say criticizing Israel makes you a racist anti-Semite, please put me on the fucking train. Once they pass a law that says having an opinion that's different from everybody else means you've got to go to that special place, put me on the fucking train, buddy. When we get to that point, I'm a stateless person. I am an illegal alien. I am not here with the permission, and nor do I desire the permission of the president, the generals, or you, motherfucker. Or you. Whoever the fuck you are. And you don't require my permission either. And if you think it's going to be easy to grab up 8 or 10 or 15 million people and toss them out of the country, if you think that's going to be easy, well, they already said Mexico setting aside 500 tents or 500 tent camps. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. And brothers and sisters, if I'm right about Blimpdoc being almost over, it's never going to fucking happen. It's never going to happen. No more than they're going to collect all your guns. They're going to scare you and scare other people. They will scare people so they stay at home, order DoorDash, wait for their Amazon fucking deliveries, watch their crazy ass TV. I don't care if it's CNN for the libs or Fox News for the cons. They'll watch their bullshit and be angry and sad and crazy. And in that sense, they'll be doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. What the creep state wants you to do. You want to know what Trump's purpose is? He's the ultimate drug. He really is. And I'm a stateless person. Next topic. Oh boy, more crypto. People making arguments that the United States need a strategic Bitcoin. Oh my God. So in 2017, I went to this fucking conference, the Startup Societies Conference. And there were a bunch of crypto barons there, people who I suppose were higher up in that world. Me, I was the same poor-ass hobo I am today. And I remember at the time, some of these people talking about how they hoped it would be their coin. And frankly, a lot of the conversations I had at the Startup Societies Conference tilted towards the authoritarian, which means that a lot of these folks were really, you know, yeah. They were technocrats. They believed in the technocracy. And there was a fair portion of them where they were all talking about whose special coin will get picked. And obviously, everyone's saying it was Bitcoin. Bitcoin's going to be the one. Think about the propaganda of crypto. The freedom, the decentralized, everybody has choices. And then think about the, oh, it's going to be Bitcoin. It'll be our coin and no one else's coin. Think about that. Think about the contrast. I'm glad it's so decentralized. Crypto is so decentralized, we're talking about a strategic Bitcoin reserve for the United States government. So fucking decentralized. But that's the thing. Bitcoin is just one of the coins, so why wouldn't it be every coin, right? Yeah. Guys, you can spend as much time in the crypto world as you want to. Figure out when you're getting out. Me, personally, I feel like it was yesterday. But you hang on there, buddy. You hang on. You hodl. Hodl your way with those cryptos because I'm fairly certain they will keep the lights on. They will keep the markets running. They'll keep your crypto going up days, if not weeks, after the food is gone. Because you got to have something to eat. If not food, at least your brain. Your brain can chew on cryptos. Your body chews on your brain. Yeah, next topic. So, there's a lot in the news about credit card defaults right now. And one of the questions people are asking is, what's Powell going to do? What's the Federal Reserve going to do? What's Trump going to do? We know that the U.S. government can spend money. They do it quite easily. I mean, I think we're north of $30 trillion, on our way to $34 trillion. That's less than I thought. A couple years ago, I thought we'd be to $100 trillion by now. So actually, in a sense, reality's being, you know, less crazy, right? I'm crazier than reality. That's where I was a couple years ago. I thought we'd be at $100 trillion by now. We're only at $33 trillion. But there are only so many ways this can play out. If Powell raises rates too much, he crashes the economy. If Powell lowers rates too much, he crashes the economy. If Powell starts quantitative easing again, he crashes the economy. If Trump continues the Keynesian government binge, which it looks like he intends to do, oh, but Dan, he's got the doji. Folks, spoiler alert, the U.S. budget will not decrease under Trump. The total amount spent will not decrease. It won't. He'll spend more. He'll spend more than Biden did. They'll claim the GDP got bigger, and that's how they'll deal with it. And that's assuming there is that much time left in this fucking drama. The tariff thing is a bit of a wild card. But put simply, if Trump does the tariffs and we enter an easing cycle, then yeah, we could very well experience radically crazy inflation, if not hyperinflation. I think worse than hyperinflation, because I don't think there's enough resources in the pipe. I don't think this will be like Germany, okay? It'll be more like we'll have maybe a couple months of hyperinflation and then just shortages, and there'll be nothing. And tell me what the price of something is when you can't get it. It sounds like it's infinite, right? Powell is stuck in the Hotel California. He doesn't have any moves left. The United States government doesn't have any moves left. Now, they can pray, and I listed a few things in the notes. Probably the most significant item in the list would be cheap, temperature-tolerant, synthetic superconduction. There's been a lot of work with something called metal hydrogen, and I don't know, in my own opinion, whether that's going to go anywhere, because I'm not a material scientist. I can't tell you. But I can tell you this in economic terms. If someone figured out cheap, temperature-tolerant, synthetic superconduction, that would potentially double or triple the U.S. GDP within a few years. Again, the government will still spend at a faster rate, but in theory, that could keep the party going. It could keep the party going indefinitely. You know, there are certain technologies that are so significant that they actually become the basis of other technologies. Cheap superconduction would impact chip manufacturing. It would impact communications. It would impact energy production. It would probably impact space propulsion. It would probably lead to some incredible advances in space technology. If we had cheap, synthetic, temperature-tolerant superconduction, it would change the world. That by itself. I only mention this because that's the kind of wishful unicorn thinking you need. If you want to believe there's a way out of the Hotel California, because that's what I'm going to call this, but it's not a new thing. There's an economist, you know, who's talked about, I think they call it the Minsky moment, but there's lots of descriptions of this, but I'm going to call it the Hotel California. The only way out at this point would be a miracle. Some type of technological miracle. And I don't think it's going to be AI or quantum computing. It's not going to be crypto, because crypto does the opposite. So no, it's not going to be crypto. It would have to be some type of leveraged technology that would, in its own way, impact other leveraged technologies. Superconduction would be the most likely. Do I think it's going to happen? No. No. Not remotely, but if you wanted something to hold on to that was more optimistic than World War III, there's one. By the way, cheap superconduction also impacts things like fusion energy. So it would be a big hit. Next topic, though. Next topic. So, amateur Sovietologists, I want you to be on the lookout for two things this year. More of the airplanes crashing. But not just Boeing, okay? More of the airplanes crashing, and also disruptions in shipping traffic. I'm not going to go into why. It's my own bullshit bugbear. But amateur Sovietologists, look out for more shipping traffic that kind of grinds to a halt, and look out for more of those airplanes just falling out of the sky for any number of fucking reasons. They'll give you all kinds of reasons when it's, you know, yeah. The CIA is supposedly spinning down the woke op. I don't know. I think the woke op is like the Chinese murder hornet. It's not going away. Or ISIS. It's going to be spun up again, just like ISIS. They'll buy a truck and put a flag on it. Next topic. Ugh. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Life just is what it is. If you believe in God, then perhaps it's more than that. Yeah. I still have faith. My faith is really tenuous right now. I believe in God. I believe God sacrificed his only son to redeem the world. I believe that the Lord was crucified and rose again. I believe a number of things. To this day, I still believe, but my path with God is not so great, and I have a hard time giving anybody spiritual advice. And if you were to come up to me and say, well, Dan, I don't believe in God because the world is shit and all this other stuff, I'd listen, and I might even be more sympathetic today than I would normally be, because in reality, when most people list their grievances against God, what they're really doing is listing their grievances against the human race. You know, we were given free will. That doesn't mean we always do the right thing. In a lot of cases, we do the crappy thing. So like I said, wouldn't you love to have a book that could list out the people you should listen to? And then a book basically said the people you shouldn't listen to. And in some ways, that book is the Bible. It is, in a way. If you take God out of the world, there's still a world. There are atoms and molecules, gases, vacuums, empty space, subatomic particles. There's a lot of stuff. There's microorganisms, right? And if you believe in the multiverse, there's other universes right next door, beyond the membrane field of probability. If only you had some dice. If you only had a magic mirror, you could roll those dice and walk through the looking glass, right? And then you find yourself in a different reality, one where you're sexy, one where you got lots of money. That'd be nice. It'd be nice, right? To have a magical button you could push, a door you could open, a wardrobe, a bed knob, a broomstick. Yeah, Dan, I know it's you know, if you know, you know. But yeah, wouldn't you like to have a portal to go someplace different? We all would, right? Probably it's not a real thing. Probably it's pathological and symptomatic. But even if it is symptomatic, and even if it is indicative of a problem, it's not uncommon to just want to escape, to break free of this bullshit, to go someplace else. Yeah. Life is what it is, guys. And without God, it's just that. It's just random dust. Dust that collects to the point that maybe there's a nova or a supernova and new kinds of dust gets created. Dust that creates stars. Dust that creates planets and moons. And those stars become old and they give rise to life in the Goldilocks zone where there's triple state water. That means liquid, gas, and frozen. And there's little creatures that crawl out of the muck one day and they look at the harsh sun and say, I'll stand on my own 3 feet. I'll look you right in your one eye. I'll stand on my own 3 feet. And I'll crawl out of this muck. And I'll become something, you fuck. I'll become big time. I'll become a big name. If you take God out of the equation, there's still a world. If you take God out of the equation, there's still life. But But it does seem like something's missing. And if you put God in, it doesn't magically make things better, but it does sort of add something that wasn't there. It's hard to explain. It's hard to understand or explain what faith is, why any conscious creature would reach a point of faith, what it means to get there, and what it means after that. I have a fortune I'm going to read you because I got some Chinese food the other day. So I got a modernistic Chinese Ching Chong style fortune. Ooh, racist. I don't care. I'm going to read it. You will soon receive a letter from a loved one. Holy fuck. That's pretty fucking ominous shit right there. Nobody sends me letters. And the only loved ones I'm talking to. Yeah. That's an ominous fucking fortune, Mr. and Mrs. Chinese restaurant. That's a fortune that's very close to the ones I remember growing up, you know? Ugh, somebody close to you. Somebody who loves you is going to send you a letter because they care about you. But I kind of think that might be ironic. Like, yeah, maybe it means something. Maybe it means the opposite. Maybe I'm going to get a letter from an attorney. Cease and desist. Maybe I'll get a letter from the IRS. Go to our offices. Maybe I'll get a letter from the sheriff's department. We heard about you. We heard you're a stateless person. Why don't you go to the collection facility and get your free lottery ticket? You get your free lottery ticket. It is Friday, almost 9:30 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. Here, not far from Brinktonville, not far from Grogan's Bay, not far from the Salish Sea, not far from the Pacific Ocean, not far from Forks, you know, where the vampires live, where they never give, where they just steal your blood, and then they chew your cud. Yeah, we're here, and it's almost 9:30, and I hope wherever you are, this 2025 is racking up to be one heck of an ISIS Bourbon Street style. Who knows whose pickup's driving into your crowd year for you, I hope, whatever, right? That's dark, but... Folks, come on. At some point we have to ask, don't we? Where is the truth in it? I don't know. You guys have a good one.